Episode. Okay, hello everyone. This is Michael Vandervoort, and it is August 10th, and it's the morning for me and most everybody that's on the call. We have a big group today. We'll explain who that is in just a second. We got one person coming in, calling in from the continent on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. So afternoon for her. But Robin, good morning, afternoon slash whatever. How are you doing today?
I am good. Good morning. Happy August. Happy the first day of school for those who celebrate in certain parts of the country like we do.
Yeah, my granddaughters, all three went to school on day one for the first time. The youngest, Riley, started kindergarten. So it was the first picture of all the girls going off to school on the first day. And they stretched from 11th grade to kindergarten. So I don't know what my son was thinking, him and his wife having kids that far apart. But anyway, they have a handful. So it was cool. Anyway, yeah. So our show today is we've done an occasional show with a group that I'm involved with and that Robin knows pretty well, and that's the admins or moderators from the infamous Facebook group known as Evil HR Lady. And so we have that whole cast and crew, and Robin is going to be the host today. I set up the show, but I'm going to be a guest. So Robin, I'm going to throw it over to you and let you kind of do your thing this morning.
Well, fantastic. And yes, it is an infamous group, isn't it? I think it really is. And when we launch our conversation here, we'll be hearing a little bit about the formation of the evil empire, perhaps, as we could call it. Yes, thrilled to have everyone here. And it's going to be an interesting conversation because I want to share with our listeners or let our listeners hear what y'all do every day as the moderators of an ever increasingly expanding Facebook group, Facebook community. The community extends beyond Facebook, but that's where a lot of the activity happens. So as I kind of take us through this conversation today, putting Michael in the guest spot so he can answer questions instead of ask them, let's kick off by going around the virtual room. And let me have each of you introduce yourselves to the audience. So Sarah, why don't we start with you?
My name is Sarah Hudson. I'm in HR operations, having come from a world where I managed leave of absence for many, many years. And I'm in Texas, and I've been a moderator in the group for, I think, 2 or 3 years now.
Marie?
I'm Marie Labazou. I'm the HR director for a company based in Mississippi, but we also have branches throughout the United States. I've been an admin for Evil HR Lady, I think we figured out just recently, for almost 6 years.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Michael, what's your role with the group?
I'm the part-time janitor. I sweep up the lobby at Evil HR. No, I'm a moderator. I joined the group a few years ago. I can't believe I'm saying, I think I've been a moderator for like Sarah, we came in at the same time, about 2 or 3 years. It seems like it was not that long ago, but it really has been. And, I joined because, I knew Suzanne by extension through the HR community, and it seemed like a useful place. And I started answering questions and got invited to do it one day, and it's been a really fun and interesting experience. And I got to know all these fine folks that we're meeting today as well. So it's been great.
Excellent. And Gio?
Hi, I'm Jo Venina. I am a mod for Evil HR Lady. I've known Suzanne for more years than we want to discuss. Our kids are roughly the same age, and I've been a part of the group since I think like it was first created. And been moderating for about a year.
Excellent. And our the original Evil HR Lady, the real Evil HR Lady, Suzanne, let us know about you.
I am the original Evil HR Lady, and I founded this group. Marie looked it up like February of 2017, which partially feels like a long time ago and partially feels like last week. Very, very odd, but it's been super fun to watch it grow and develop And I couldn't, and I mean this literally, I couldn't do it without these, with this moderating team. It could not be done by one person. Couldn't be done.
Not with the group we have, no.
And we'll dive into that in a little bit. We're gonna talk about the community members and participants, because it's interesting to watch. Now, the Facebook group itself here just recently, last weekend before, hit a milestone of 30,000 members. And that's just in the Facebook group. So that's nothing to do with the other who's participating in the blog or the job site or anything like that, just the Facebook group. So why do you think that this particular Facebook group is a go-to destination for many? Marie, let me start with you.
Well, I have to admit, part of it is because Suzanne wants value-added content. She doesn't allow a lot of the garbage and the nitpicking and the trolling like many other groups. We constantly get people who want to join the group because they've heard it's a great group. It's a safe place where people can express views. So I think that's a huge part of it.
Jovanina, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I kind of agree with Marie, and also because we're very, very strict on what's allowed. Especially with regard to language and how people treat each other. I personally have done a little bit of a hand smack a couple of times, reminding people that our ethos is first and foremost, be kind. If you can't be kind saying what you need to say, then perhaps, maybe, this may not be the group for you. There are plenty of other places where you can say whatever you want, however you want. And it's not about tone policing, because someone did ask that recently, do we tone police? And it's not about tone policing. It's literally just be a decent human being and don't swear. That's it. Swear on your own time. Anywhere else, we don't care what you say, but in the group, keep it clean.
And I would imagine that, and we'll kind of talk about how you moderate in a bit, but I would think there's a lot of curse word moderation or policing, huh?
There's not as much as you would expect, because we're very consistent. We don't allow it at all. And so there'll be phases where we get notified if someone does a comment that has one of the forbidden words in it. We had to remove ass off the forbidden word list, though, because Facebook would flag every time ASS was used in any content, not even just the whole world. Like, you write assessment and it would be flagged. So
yeah.
But that's a proper British word for donkey, so we're okay with that. But it's amazing to me how you set a standard, and I know most people don't read the rules. Nobody reads the rules. But you set a standard and people notice, oh, this isn't done here. And so they don't. And the reason for it is twofold. One, I don't like it. It's my group. I don't like it. But the other thing is that it makes it so much easier if there's just a blanket no instead of an evaluation. Are you using that as I had a blankety blank day, or you're a blankety blank person? And yeah. So it's just so much easier just to say, we don't use that. And people rise to the occasion. We don't get a ton of rule violations, and we don't kick you out if you throw in a bad word here and there. We just delete your comment, or if it's a good comment, we'll message you and say, hey, can you edit? Because it's not about, oh, you're a bad person that's going to HE double hockey sticks if you swear. You can swear all you want, just not on the board.
Yep.
I think the most notable example was that one TikTok that got submitted three times by three separate people, and it got declined every single time. And I'm messaging, rule number three, no swears. Rule number three, no swears.
just as well, because I don't like the TikToker anyway, which we won't say her name because I don't want to say anything negative about someone else, but she drives me nuts. So I'm just as happy that she said bad words.
But you know, it's funny that, like, especially like if you're sharing content like that, you know, because one of the fun things about Evil HR Lady is, in our group here, we share stuff on our private chat wall all the time, you know, humor, not making fun of the group, although we do that from time to time as well, because you have to, if you're going to police a group of 30,000 people, sometimes you have to laugh at them. Sometimes a lot of the time we laugh with them, but we also get a lot of people just wanting to share HR centric humor on the public page. And I shared one time from TikTok, and it was, didn't have swear words in it, but it was from an account that starts with the F word, F Jerry. And Nina pointed out, Michael, that's funny, but did you see the, and I was like, yeah, and I'm a moderator, you know, so even I got moderated and had to pull my own content down because Nina's such a harsh cop. So anyway.
That's why we can
have a good job. Now, I think one of the, I think everything you've said is true. And having been a long time, probably since 2017, pretty much been in the group myself, it's absolutely true. There's lots of other Facebook, HR-centric Facebook groups as well, though. Many aren't quite as helpful, perhaps, is one way of putting it. What are some of the differences you see between the Evil HR Lady group and some of the other HR groups? And, I guess, what are some of those other good ones, perhaps? Sarah, any thoughts on that?
I am an Evil HR Lady purist, and I'm not in any of the other groups. However, I think it goes back, because I can imagine what goes on, having also moderated like a large working mother group and similar. I feel like the expectation that you're going to share things that are helpful and factual, and the fact that it is so heavily moderated, you know, we don't just, first of all, we approve every post that's coming through. So when we started doing that, I feel like it really helped because it cuts down on the repeat questions or poorly worded questions, questions that we just know never get any traction. And so what ends up on the page are, you know, questions or, you know, situational inquiries that we feel like are likely to engage the group and will be good learning for other people as well. You know, we send a lot of people to Google for a reason. You know, like if it's easily Googleable, we're not going to put the question through in the group. And then again, you know, we skim through. Obviously, we don't read every single comment on every single thread, but we do a lot of, you know, moderating and making sure that information being shared is truthful, or at minimum, if there's not a truth to it, you know, if it's more like an opinion, how would you handle the situation? Just making sure that the guidance is rooted in, you know, common sense professionalism. You know, people can disagree, that's fine. Like, hey, I'd terminate versus no, I wouldn't. And if you can articulate why, you're probably not wrong, you know, in either case, but also because of the moderation that goes on otherwise, our members are pretty good at calling each other out as well, saying, hey, that sounds like that might be a law in your state, or it might be your company policy, but that's not how it works everywhere. And we see a lot of that in particular across industries, right? Blue collar industries versus white collar industries. We have to do a lot of reminding, like, hey, just because that works for your law firm does not mean it works in a manufacturing plant and things like that. So I think the community itself is like a self-fulfilling prophecy where good content begets more good content and good responses.
Yeah. Marie, you in particular, I know, get involved in some other groups as well. Are there any other HR-centric groups that you follow, you like, or that you think?
Honestly, none that I would recommend. A lot of them continue to have some of the same kind of teething pains that we did early on with Evil HR Lady. Suzanne and I figured out I wasn't one of the original members, but I was pretty close to it. And when I first joined the group, anyone could join. And we got a lot of people that were not HR professionals coming and asking questions about dealing with their HR groups.
Yep, yep.
And their HR people. And we've kind of phased that out with an evil HR lady, which I think is definitely, it's more focused on conversations for business professionals and HR professionals. And many of the other groups that I have seen and left have continued to keep those kind of people and those kinds of questions in the group. And it's so hard because you're dealing with basically employees that you're only getting their side of the story. So it just, it wasn't a fit for me. So I, like Sarah, become an HR purist for the evil HR lady.
There is one group that shall remain nameless that is exactly like that. And it's huge and it's been around a long time. And we probably all know which one I'm talking about. That just drives me absolutely bonkers because of exactly all those reasons and the amount of bad advice and non-factual information that is shared as if it's the gospel truth. Just, I've had to step away as well. I'm still in the group, but I'm not on Facebook as much as I used to be myself. But
yeah, I think there are some groups like Workology, and you know, that are like that it tend to be more focused on a specific topic. Like Jessica focuses on certification, and you know, I think there are a few other Facebook groups, you know, that are and she has extended properties, as do many of the people. Like we refer people to Victoria, right?
Victoria's
certification. You know, I mean, so I mean, it's, you know, there are other communities, but they tend to be a little more focused, and the HR space. And I also think the recruiting space has some pretty good, like, I'm not going to name a bunch of groups, but I think the recruiting and sourcing space on Facebook is pretty strong because they have a lot of knowledgeable people who share stuff. And but the HR community, it seems to me as if a lot of the other Facebook groups, they're either smaller or they're not as focused on what they try to accomplish. And I'm not trying to say, oh, we're the best. Although
we are the best.
I do think we are, Suzanne. I do, but I don't want to put anybody on blast. But I think that we work really hard to do things in the right way, and I think that's why you see the response from the community at large, because they kind of get what they pay for in a certain sense in other places. You know, we do a lot of work to keep it pertinent and useful, and to try to control a lot of the, to your point, Robin, about other big groups where people, you know, it speak from the gospel, even though they don't really have a clue what the hell they're talking about, right? You know, and we don't always get everything right. And we have members that do that as well, but we do our best to try to correct that and step in and make sure that it's modified. And we have a good diverse team here that knows a lot of different areas of HR. And so we're able to provide a little bit of a guardrails, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was something that we came up with a few weeks ago that none of us had any experience on. What was that? I don't remember what it was.
Compensation.
Oh, it was a compensation. It was sales compensation.
It was a pretty technical compensation question. Yeah. It was just kind of like nobody knew. Yeah. And so we basically told them, don't shop here for help because it's not the right place.
Yeah.
Well, compensation people are always like gold when you can find them, right?
Yep.
All my years in HR, like you find a compensation expert, specialist, resource man, you latch onto them. I've got a good one, by the way.
keep him a secret from us.
I'm happy to share his name publicly. You can find him through our company. How's that? And so Suzanne, as part of the hitting the 30,000 member milestone and building towards that, you recently did a survey of group members. What were some of the findings from that? What were some of the interesting things you learned about folks group?
That was such an interesting thing, and I'm glad we did it. And I think we should probably do it every year. But we got 565 responses. I just pulled it up. I didn't memorize that. You know, we did find out that the vast majority of people are HR or HR adjacent, you know, payroll type things, recruiting. Some people think recruiting is part of HR and some don't. So there's a little bit of a battle there. So we did find that out, which is awesome. And one of the things that I was surprised at is the number of people that we had from big companies. I had assumed it was smaller. It's still pretty small, but we had 13% that are in 10,000 plus companies, which I thought was going to be a smaller number. Because that's one of those things that there's a lot, or maybe they're just the ones that comment a lot, of people that say, I'm an HR department of one, I'm an HR department of three, which of course makes sense because, you know, I cut my teeth in a 30,000 person company. I had one job. I did HR analytics and that was all I did. And I was in a whole department. I had four direct reports who only did HR analytics. You know, that was all we did all day, every day. And so if you had a question about another area, there was an expert that did that all day, every day.
Yeah.
But when you're in a smaller company, you do all of it all the time. And so of course you have more questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that's an interesting point because as a group participant, as a group member, I think one of the feelings that many members probably get and something that I kind of feel when I'm in the group is everybody else that's in there becomes sort of this extension of your HR team.
Yes.
And just like with your real HR team, there are some people you don't want to associate with or you want to ignore. And then there are others that you want to, oh, I'm going to ask Susie and hope she comments on this. But I think for those small teams or those departments of one, the value of having, you know, the ability to get answers or examples or ask questions is unsurpassed, because back in the day, you know, when many of us cut our teeth, and I was HR department of one, I mean, I had nobody. I mean, you didn't have the internet, you know? So I literally would go to the library sometimes to go look stuff up a million years ago. So I think it allows those smaller HR teams or those departments of one to have coworkers kind of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was like, even as someone who did work for 25,000 person company, you know, when I was doing leaves, I was the only person I didn't have a team. You know, my boss came from the comp side of the house. So even though I was at a large company with you know, fairly set policies and a half decent budget and a TPA and everything, you know, if I did run into a unique situation and I didn't want to have to run to my employment lawyer for everything, you know, I mean, obviously do where I can, you know, even though I had a lot of resources, you know, I think it's really helpful for the departments of one and then the sub departments that are, you know, understaffed or kind of working in isolation. Cause it is weird when, you know, leaves is a bit of a stepchild sometimes, you know, in the benefits space. And, that's where I, you know, kind of got to know, but it's a topic scares a lot of people. Right. So I'm always excited when there's a leave question and I can jump in and help having learned a lot there. But yeah, I think it's really interesting how if you do it right, you know, and it's a real community, then your people who have moved on from those departments of one can give that, hey, there's life on the other side. You can do this. And, you know, those of us who are in larger companies and see how things work at scale, you know, can say, hey, look, you know, you may not be here right now, but on your 3 to 5 year plan, maybe you can scale it so it looks like this. And so I'd like to think, and not just that, but it's a, if you're having a rough day at your very large company and you look at what someone in the Department of One is going through, it's this constant reminder, no matter where you are, you got different problems, different challenges, you know, and nobody has it easy. And I think I appreciate the diversity of the group and that the professional diversity of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I was going to say is that the ability to do this kind of posting and, you know, shopping for answers is great, but it causes us as moderators, it causes us a couple of issues in that one, a lot of people, well, number one, many people want to ask the question that they want to get an answer to anonymously. And we're pretty strict on that. And I'm the least strict of the bunch. So I'll let the others comment on that in a second, but they also, you know, people also want to, you know, I think sometimes they want to be anonymous because they don't want to look like they're dumb or whatever, like they're asking a dumb question or they don't know an answer that they think they should know, which I get, but you know, you're already in a pretty safe space. So just ask your question, because there's a lot of us that don't know stuff either. You know, the second thing that we get is a lot of requests for templates, like share your handbook, share this policy, share that. And I get that, but it's a terrible practice to honestly, I mean, you know, you can find sample templates all over the internet. You can go to SHRM, sharing somebody else's from a company that has nothing to do with your business. And so we really try to discourage that and don't approve a lot of those questions, which I think sometimes frustrates our members, but they don't really ever get that much response. And, you know, and it's bad practice, and it's actually kind of a lazy approach too. So I, you know, I'm being judgy this morning, but we frown on those kind of things, because they don't work and it's not in your best interest. And so we don't allow a lot of those posts. Yeah.
And when people do share, go ahead, Nina.
In addition to what Michael was saying is, you know, you could, if you do share your company resources with other people, you could very well run afoul of your own corporate policy.
Right.
And, you know, proprietary information, intellectual property stuff. And we are not about that life. You know, we don't want anybody getting in trouble for sharing stuff that they really shouldn't have shared. They had no authority to share, and we don't want to be on the hook for it. So keep your resources, that kind of stuff, to yourself. There's always Google.
Well, we'd rather people just ask the question. Like, instead of saying, hey, can you share your policy or share your template? Just ask the question, like, what do you do for our employees who have been there more than 5 years? What are you doing for new hires? Like, what's your, like, we've had a few questions lately, like, what's your 401k vesting schedule? Like, that makes sense, because people can talk about that in a couple of bullet points and you still get the information you need, as opposed to no response, because no one's going to share their template or policy with you for all the reasons Nina just said.
Right. Michael mentioned the anonymous issue. I'm using air quotes for... Mm-hmm. For those listening, their anonymous issue, because I know that that's forever been sort of an ongoing dilemma within the group. So let's kind of talk through when that happens, when you approve them. Maybe we'll keep Michael out of it. He said he's the outlier of it.
I'm okay about it, but I'm just more benevolent than the rest. They're like, it's anonymous. Yes.
It's very interesting to me. So I'm interested to hear kind of how you decide when to approve an anonymous post or not. Because somebody will say, oh, I want to be anonymous because I have coworkers in this group. And then they post something that is so
specific
that I'm like, I can probably guess who you are, and I'm not one of your coworkers, right? So how do you balance that? How do you decide when to approve something anonymous, when to not?
I've been Suzanne, you want to start?
Message the person and say, hey, listen, you know, you've just described, oh, I have an employee who's been here 16 years and just got a haircut, and it's like, okay. Yeah. And the other thing I've said often to people is, this is precisely the thing you should be talking with your coworkers about. This especially comes up with a policy question. I want this to be anonymous because there are people in my, you know, I have coworkers in here, and how should we do our vacation policy? I'm like, no, that's something that you should be having a discussion with your HR colleagues about. And if you're scared to talk about your vacation policy with them, the problem isn't the vacation policy.
Right.
The problem is the relationship among people in the group. And I'm happy to post that anonymously, but the vacation policy isn't the issue. If you can't say to your HR colleague, hey, listen, we offer 2 weeks of vacation, but our competitors are all offering three, maybe we should change this. If you can't say that,
yeah,
you're in a toxic workplace and fixing the vacation policy won't fix anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But mainly the reason why I don't like anonymous posts is because you can't respond anonymously. And so when people are asking personal things, please share with me your traumatic boss experience, but I'm not going to say who I am. Plus, the internet makes us all a little bit crazy. People think that they're just talking to a computer and they forget that there's a human there. Mm-hmm. And when you have these anonymous exchanges, that's why I think why Twitter is so bonkers, is that so many people are anonymous, and Reddit, the same thing, everybody's anonymous. So I can tell you blankety, blankety, blank, because I don't know you and bleh. Whereas on Facebook, you can click and see, oh, there's someone, they've got a kid, they've got a dog, they've, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they can be more human. And I like to keep the human. Human resources. Mm-hmm. Plus, I'm super nosy.
I mean, you know, we were just discussing this yesterday. I mean, there are times where an anonymous post can be entirely appropriate. For mm-hmm. example, you know, my company's maybe going to have to be laying people off soon. I have some questions about WARN or best practices, or, you know, we're looking at a major change like to an HRIS system, and it's not widely socialized even within our HR department yet, but I need a little guidance. Like, I had that happen myself once. Like, and at my former company, there were several people in different areas of HR that were members of the group, and like, we weren't ready for people outside of our benefits team to start weighing in on some of those things. I wanted to, you know, pull some other benefits gurus in the group, things like that. Or like, if someone's, you know, feeling like they're being discriminated against, or again, they're trying to leave the company and they have questions about like transition plans and how to talk to their manager about it as an HR professional, like, that's different, because you can kind of understand like, hey, you're not ready to kind of put some of that personal business out there, or it truly is, like, you know, Nina and Marie were talking about earlier, something proprietary to the company where you're really not in a place to talk about it yet. But so many of the times, like you said, Robin, it's either really specific, or yeah. If they would just not share all of those specifics, you could just ask the question. You know, like someone just earlier this week was asking, like, well, you know, what happens, you know, if someone has a leave request out, but they need to be put on a PIP, and how do you navigate that? Well, I don't need to know that it's your husband or that it's you. Just ask the question. Mm-hmm. I mean, right. Sometimes it's important to have certain details, right, to help, but the personal details don't necessarily need to be shared because they're not relevant to the question at hand. So sometimes we say, hey, look, if you'll just take out all of these personal details that you've included and ask the root question that you're trying to get to, then you can just ask your question. It doesn't happen. No one has to know all of the behind the scenes dirt on why you're asking the question. Mm-hmm.
To piggyback on that a little bit, the problem being is it's either that or it doesn't have enough details. They want to ask anonymously. And we literally had one of these, I believe it was either last night or this morning. I need X, something that you can look up on Google. I don't want to look stupid. That was literally the post.
how often if a post is rejected, for anonymous reasons or other, does the person get do one of you respond? This yes. is why it's, so that's got to take a lot of time.
Not really, because the system set up that we can put doesn't need to be anonymous. And it's just, you know, usually a quick sentence, Google it.
Yeah, yeah.
Too many details, that kind of thing.
Okay. I think that's rule number two. Anonymous yeah. posts need to be anonymous.
It's rule number one.
Oh, it's rule number one now.
Because we were using it so much, Suzanne moved it to the top so we could click on it more easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should move up the HRIS questions won't be allowed to, because
they're all, it's all rule number one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and sometimes people will come back and say, hey, this is why I wanted this to be anonymous. And we go, you know what? Okay, I kind of get it. And yeah, we might put it through. Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah, we kind of don't understand. And when they explain, it's like, all right, I'll throw you a bone, you know. Whereas, you know, Michael tends to be you know, a little bit more loose. Marie wants to deny all of them, and I kind of fall in the middle.
Yeah.
You know?
So we balance each other. And if there's really like a real, like, you know, we don't have a lot of debates. Like, nobody ever really takes a real strong, like, no, we shouldn't not ban that. But if we do have one where it's close, we defer to Suzanne and let her make the final call.
Yeah.
That's kind of the protocol we follow. I was just going to comment, just, you know, this is a little bit off the thing, but, you know, talk about like the posts and the reviews and the getting back to people. Since midnight last night, more or less, midnight Eastern time, we've had almost 30 transactions on the group already today. And it is 9:30 a.m. here. So in 9.5 hours, we've had almost, I think it was 27 or 28 that I counted real fast. I didn't do a precise count. And that includes both posts, request to post things, and people applying for membership, right? So, and we've moderated all those. And we'll get, Suzanne, I don't know if you did a look at that when you were looking for 30,000, but we probably get over 100 a day easily. Yeah. Most days, right?
Wow.
I mean, it's a robust, like, if we posted everything that people want to post, you know, nobody could ever follow it, right? And some of them aren't just, they're just not good questions, right? So the you know, so there's a lot of work that gets done that people don't appreciate is the point I'm trying, not that they don't appreciate it. They don't have any idea, like right. When their particular question goes up, they really don't know the universe that they're competing right. in, you know, because some things just aren't relevant. Some things just, we've seen this post 1,000 times, or we know that nobody's going to answer the question. So we apply a database or a knowledge base that of experience that, you know, they can't appreciate because they haven't looked at 100 posts a day for 3 years, you know, yeah. like we have.
And that's why I'm glad we kind of instituted the no post for the first 7 days rule. Like, read the room, get a feel for the kinds of things that people like, the kind of detail you need to include to be helpful, and the kind of details you don't need to include because it just clutters things up. And I feel like that helps. I mean, do I check every post that comes in and make sure they've been in their week? No, I do not, admittedly. But some of us are better at checking, but especially if the question's a little wonky, I might say, oh, are they new? Like, this is, you know, if it's a really well-written question and I don't notice, and that probably says, you know, it's all right anyway. But I think just the ask of that helps people understand the gravity of, like, I am in a huge group. I need to understand, like, how this is all working.
Yeah.
I'm glad we started doing that. I think it's a value add for sure.
The other thing, go ahead, sir.
How do you decide? Because another thing that you do periodically as moderators as well is you decide to close the comments on mm-hmm. a thread. Mm-hmm. When do you decide to do that, and why?
Hmm.
Things go off the rails when people can't be trusted to control themselves, and the strangest things will cause that.
We'll say,
oh, this is a real controversial post, we'll moderate it, we'll, you know, three of us will comment on it, and it'll just be smooth as silk. Someone will be like, oh, I need to change a leave of absence policy. And suddenly we're like calling each other racists and classists. And it's just like, what?
An ableist. Don't forget ableist.
Ableist. Yes. Always ableist.
Anytime someone says, oh, I have this bad employee, someone will jump in. Oh, they're probably ADHD. You need to. I'm like, we're all ADHD. The whole mod team.
Yeah.
Has the attention span of a flea. Actually, I don't know if that's true. It's true for me.
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
And yet we manage not to spit at people or something, you know, it's just, mm-hmm. it's bizarre. But it's basically, if we feel like there can't be a civil conversation, or sometimes when it's dogpiling, and sometimes when it's simply asked and answered and people are too lazy to read that someone has given the and you're like on your 42nd time with the same answer, and just like, I'm shutting this down because you people can't read.
It continues to bump it up right in the thread, and it's not value add, you know. I think sometimes too, like, if there is a problem in a thread, or like Suzanne said, if it has a lot of potential to get, you know, a little nasty, but we've gotten a few good responses and we say, you know what, we're about to go to bed, or we all have a really busy day today. The poster has gotten exactly what anyone could have hoped for. So we're going to close it just to make sure nothing else goes crazy, so we don't have to babysit it. So sometimes we do that too, because we would hate for, you know, for all of us to, again, be asleep or otherwise occupied, and then something kind of go a little sideways, and we don't have time.
And I can always tell when you, because you all know, because you've been doing it for so long, I can tell when you anticipate that a post or a question might have that possibility, because there will be from one of you, please don't keep politics out of this. Please don't. Uh-huh. Not, you know.
And that actually, you know, that actually is something that we learned, right? That if you like transgender posts or pronoun posts or those things that, you know, are so divisive politically right now in society, if you go in and say, look, like, we know this is going to, some people don't agree, you know, but they're asking a very specific question, right? Yeah. Answer the question. If we insert that right at the beginning when we approve the post, it has done a tremendous amount to take that whole, you know, they are or they aren't, they should or they shouldn't go in bathrooms or whatever, takes it off the table for most people, because they kind of know the rule, you know, very visibly right as they enter the conversation, right? So that's something that we've learned to do that helps. And so that's why you see it. And I think that's why you notice it more, Robin, is because it's almost like a best practice that we've learned from moderation to take controversy out of the picture as best as you can.
Yeah.
You know, so now we see people, like I saw one yesterday where somebody asked a question and they responded back, and then that woman got snippy and another woman said, hey, that's not what I'm, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you got 11 comments between two people, you know, where they're basically just sniping at each other, and we have to step in and go, hey, stop it. Be nice. Yeah. You know,
bring it to an end.
Yeah.
And sometimes.
I was going to say, I found that when we have a topic like that, and one of the moderators is the literal first comment right underneath it, it does so much to put people's brakes on, because they realize, oh, this thread's being babysat, and they're watching, and they're not going to let us get away with anything.
Yeah, and I think even if someone didn't have, like, you know, nefarious intent, like, to come and stir the pot, I think, you know, a lot of us, our feeds are very busy, and by commenting, you're noticing, oh, this is an evil HR lady post, like, this isn't from another site, this isn't from, you know, so the expectations on this post are different. And also, there's a lot of areas using this example of anything to do with the transgender community, people often don't know what they don't know and can say something insensitive while truly trying to be helpful or kind, and not realize they're using out-of-date terminology, blah, blah, blah. So it kind of reminds people too, if someone's saying something, it's like we talked about being kind before, if they have the words wrong, but everything about their comment indicates they're trying to be helpful, it's perfectly okay to say, hey, I don't think you understand that perhaps, like, we don't use that language anymore, or, like, that's actually hurtful. I know you're trying to be helpful. So you can come at it from a place of, you seem uneducated on this topic, and not, hey, you're obviously, you know, a transphobe bigot who's trying, you know, so it's like, can we give people a little bit of benefit of the doubt? Not that it's any, we don't want people to take the emotional labor of educating. Same thing with posts that it may involve racism or ageism or things like that. But there's ways to correct each other and direct each other to learnings without being rude in turn, you know, for someone that, by all accounts, if you look at their post history, if you look at what they're saying, you know, is trying to have a productive conversation and maybe just needs a little point in the right direction. Yeah. So I like that our community can be that as well. You know, assuming positive intent, again, without putting educational burden on those in marginalized communities.
Yeah. Suzanne, you have made the comment in the past that being a moderator for the group should go on someone's resume.
And yeah, I have. And the thing is that it probably wouldn't help anybody get a job, and it probably might hurt, but it should, because I have learned since February of 2017 that good groups don't just happen. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of, oh, we just occasionally make comments and wield power, ha ha ha. I mean, it's management skills, it's decision making, it's teamwork. We discuss so many things, like and Michael mentioned with the finding out that putting on the mod hat posts comment, first of all, is our best practice because that works.
Yeah.
If you go back to 2017, I don't know that you would see a mod hat comment. This is fairly recent, but we've learned, and there's so much that we've learned. You know, one of the battles that we used to fight a lot, and we fought less because of our best practice, is saying, hey, remember, the person asking this question doesn't have the power to change the policy. They right. have to work with the policy that they have, because there's so many people jumping in. Well, you need to let that person work.
Right.
Okay. But I can't. So deal mm-hmm. with it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those best practices, as Sarah said, being able to give feedback to somebody and say, hey, you know, your intentions are good. And we will go back and look at their comments mm-hmm. to see what kind of person this is. Was this an off moment? Or was it an intentionally rude thing to say? Is this something that is a, hey, please don't say that, or a, you're banned? We will go back. And it's the nice thing about the internet is that it's there for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's hard work. And like when we talked about the other groups that aren't as great, part of that is because they're not, I don't think they put in the time and effort that we do. When we decided to moderate all posts and approve all posts, I thought this is going to ruin the group. And it made it 10 yeah. times yeah. better.
Yeah.
10 times.
And I yeah. didn't know you had that concern. So kudos to you for taking a leap there.
Yeah. You know what? I have learned over the past 6 years working with Marie that she's 99.999% of the time right. So when she has an idea, let's go for it.
Just go with that idea. Well, you know, and to piggyback on what Susan said about the resume thing, to be honest, like a lot of the decisions you asked earlier about decisions, right? Like we you know, we roundtable stuff. We're like, okay, what do you think mm-hmm. of this? We share sure. this person, you know, so-and-so is now on my watch list and we'll right. share, you know, and it sounds, you know, like it sounds like we're complaining about all our people. I should say, the 30,000 people that we have, like three of them are bad, right? The rest right. are great. It's not three, but it's maybe 10. And sometimes it's just an isolated incident where somebody gets triggered over something that happened. But for the most part, all of our members are very well behaved, right? And much appreciated. Mm-hmm. But it's the few that you, just like in real life in HR, right? It's the few bad ones that yeah. you deal with, and they're not right. bad. They just don't agree. But we manage it in a very HR style, which would make some people roll their eyes. But, you know, we put people on PIPs, right? If they're, you know, we'll give them timeouts, 24 hours, you know, to go home, you know, suspensions. I mean, it's really a group of HR ladies doing HR lady stuff as we moderate, you know, so... Anyway,
for sure. But and yeah, because there's a lot of people, they might make a comment that like comes off a bit snippy or whatever. And yeah, I might say, hey, like that was a little harsh. And a lot of people will say like, oh, sorry. Like, obviously I need some carbs. Like I'll come back. You know, my bad. You know, some people will kind of argue and you're like, okay, like, or maybe you could just take the feedback. You know, sometimes that's the case. But yeah, most people are there to be a good partner and be a good group member, and yep. we don't have to do too much discipline.
Also on the back end of things, we're also looking for talent. We're looking for those subject matter experts. Yeah. We talk about this constantly because we want to identify those people to be group experts. So yes. some people are on our radar for very, very good things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. We talk about those people. We're like, hey, did you see this? Should we ask this person to be an expert? And then we'll look at their post history and then we'll decide yay or nay. Because we want good people. We want good information. We don't want it to get overrun. And you know, to this morning, I corrected someone asked a question about what to put in an offer letter. If the regular hours were going to be 50 a week or something like that. And someone's like, you can't demand regular hours of exempt people because that will remove the exemption. And this is a misbelief that so many people have.
Yeah.
And so I immediately jumped in and was like, no, that's not the case. And I always use the example of, you know, your dentist has to be there at specific times. And if your dentist is not there, you're going to fire the dentist. Like, they work specific hours and they are by every definition exempt. Like, they earn enough money, they have the professional, they are exempt, because people tend to think of it in the wrong area. And it's possible that within this person's organization, none of the exempt people have to keep to a schedule.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that it is. But, you know, we want to correct.
Yeah.
And we love having people that we know we can trust to jump in and correct with that expert flag. I did think it was interesting. We did ask people to nominate other people and nobody did.
Yeah, not a single one.
Not even themselves, huh?
We told them they couldn't nominate themselves. So
I know.
Let me ask one last question before we wrap up here. What are, kind of the perennial hot topics for year over year? And what are some of the newish hot topics?
The newest one, what? I was going to say the newest one is the I-9 form.
Yeah.
The perennials are, hot topics, especially since 2020 has been work from home and remote work and drug testing. Those are our perennial hot topics.
I think attendance has honorable mention, it ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
And again, all of those topics are industry dependent and company dependent. And we are constantly, as I said earlier, having to remind people what works at your company may not work at it. Just because you can offer that flexibility doesn't mean everybody can. Yep. Just because you can't offer any flexibility doesn't mean other people can't. Yep. So it's really critical in those. People are really good about saying, this is my industry, this is the situation. And those are times where we might have to go in and tell people, hey, they just said they were in manufacturing. You know, your accountants do not have the same experience. Please be quiet. This is not your threat.
And another topic is FMLA and ADA.
Yep.
Accommodations. Yeah. You know, one of the most interesting ones to me is when we get a shout out in a non-HR industry conference or webinar, somebody will say, hey, if you're interested in, and then all of a sudden we'll start getting like car dealers, you know, people from car dealerships are showing up saying, I work at a car dealership and I need workplace advice. Right. And we're not ask a manager. You know, so like we cater to HR or HR adjacent people. And so if you're trying to apply for membership, if you will, we're going to deny those, even though we appreciate the shout outs, I guess, but we're not going to allow you to kind of vent your frustration over the way your industry works or whatever. So,
and on the flip side of that, we have a lot of people who are like executive assistants and they're responsible for a lot of HR functions and like a weird, but they have no actual authority. So I find they tend to ask some very interesting questions because they're caught between a rock and a hard place.
But that's HR adjacent or policy adjacent.
But that's fair enough to call it HR adjacent. Yes. Cause they're expected to sometimes help draft policies or carry them out. Without the appropriate training, that's not their fault. You know, their managers should help them take some classes or give them some resources. I really feel with people in those situations.
Right.
There was one webinar that a lot of our members attended, or a lot of people attended, and within 45 minutes, we had over 100 people ask for membership.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
We couldn't answer our trick question, right? That made me laugh.
The 7 day question.
The 7 day question. One of our questions is, you must be a member for 7 days before commenting. How many days must you be a member? And a bunch of employment attorneys couldn't get it right.
Attorneys not reading the fine print. Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk?
And really to Sarah's earlier point too, of certain folks, it's not, they're in a job. It is what it is. It's not their fault that they are with an organization or have moved into a role where they have to learn, right? They don't. One of the good things as well in the group, yes, it's the conversation, yes, it's the learn from peer to peer, but just the sharing of other resources that goes on, where somebody will say, oh, I need to learn about whatever, ADA, and and people will say, oh, here's a resource, here's a resource, here's a resource. Check this out, read this article, go here. I mean, just that is so valuable, I think, to so many mm-hmm. people that it expands beyond the group, certainly. I want to wrap us up because this is going to be about one of our longest shows in the history of years here now, probably. So let me thank our guests, Marie and Sarah and Jovanina, and Suzanne, of course, the original real evil HR lady, at least trademarked, I should say. Many came before.
and many will come after.
My co-host, Michael, from DriveThruHR, who today was a guest. So thank you, everyone, for coming. And Suzanne, let's let you have the last word for the group and tell our listeners where they can connect with Real Evil HR Ladies on Facebook. They know that, but kind of the whole ecosystem, I guess.
Well, the thing I want to say is how much I love these people. I cannot express my gratitude. They don't get paid for this. And I would love to pay them, but you know, nobody pays me for this either.
HR and HR adjacent roles. So we
can't. Yeah, weird, huh? People don't value us, but I love them so much and they work so hard for what, to be yelled at by crazy people. It's like, you know, when people say bad things about HR, my experience is that most of HR is truly trying to help.
Yes.
And we have bad days just like everybody else, but truly trying to help. So I'm super grateful. And if you're in HR, you're welcome to join the Evil HR Lady Facebook group, or anybody can read my blog, which is evilhrlady.org, or follow me on Twitter. I can't join Threads because it's banned in Europe.
No, it's not that great.
I keep forgetting.
I liked it the first 2 weeks, but it's just kind of lame right now. It'll get better though.
Yeah. So.
It's not going to get better till I can get on it, Michael.
True.
Obviously.
True. It'll be much better when that happens, Suzanne, for sure. So, all right. Well, that was awesome. Thanks, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and end the recording. So we'll post the show a little later this afternoon, and I'm sure I'll talk to you guys in the next 10 minutes or so. So, Robin, and thanks.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.